thank you so much for this time that we can turn aside and be in thy house today, dear Lord. Thank you for your people that are here, dear Lord. Pray that you'll bless Brother Blevins as he preaches, dear Father. Pray that you'll give us an extra special day today, dear Father. Pray that you'll comfort your people, dear Father. Help us to be strong in the Lord. We're thankful for what you do for us, for all that you do, in Christ's name. Amen. Page 212, Nothing But the Blood. 212. Looks like a pretty day. It's good to see everybody. Caleb, want to sing a solo today? Holly'll sing with you. It looks like you're gonna have to be solo on the building fund offering today. Thank you. Bell up. Get him to do a little work. I guess you'll have to do it Acapulco. Just sing as you go. Ask your blessing, Lord.
Stay, Lord, because against spirits today, Lord. Pray for your blessed Brother Levins as he brings the message in a few moments. Pray that you'll bless the offering. Pray that you'll bless the giver, the one that may have them. Let it be used for your honor, Lord. In Christ's name.
I guess most of you know why I step away from the microphone now most of the time. So y'all can't hear me sing. I'll say ladies, but some of you ladies needs to pray about who can do a solo from time to time, maybe. Y'all get together. Or even do a duet. Y'all ought to do that. I'm going to say ladies now. I guess we could sing. We men used to sing, too. I remember Brother Allen, and some of us would sing. Buddy and me. I can't remember if Julius did or not, but I knew Dabney sang with that. Yeah. All right. Now I knew this is what everybody's been looking for. Brother Blevins, take all the time you need.
I'll get you headed towards Taco Bell and Steakhouse shortly. I found out that you don't be long-winded. It gets close to 12 o'clock, people headed for the steakhouse, whether you're finished or not. But anyways, it's good to be here and appreciate each and every one. And God has truly been good to us. We have a lot to be thankful for. And so we praise God that He still blesses. And all the rain and all that brought some hardship on people. My son's shop, he's got a taxidermy shop up there in a building I have, and about 8 inches of water went in it. So, I told him, I said, well, it could have been worse. Lightning could have hit it and tore it down. So we just praise the Lord that, He looks over His people and takes care of them. A lot of people got trapped in water, but when we think about it, we look at some of the other areas, we're fortunate. And so a lot of people lost home, tornadoes and fires, and 19 young men that died in the fire out in Arizona. It seemed like tragedy on every hand. And so today I thought about all this, and over in 1 Samuel chapter number 12, if you will. I want to take a verse for text, and I'll start with chapter 12, verse number 20. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of what Christians should do in time of suffering. All of us has had to ask that question: what am I going to do when, tragedy comes, or suffering, or you don't know what's going to take place? And I know that I've had health problems, and I had to, pray to God, wonder how I'm going to make it through. But you know what? The main thing is we need to pray. That's the key to finding out what we should do in time of suffering. Here we find in, Samuel, the prophet was reproving the people, but in chapter 12, verse 20, said, "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. Notice verse number 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Verse 23 said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. Now, there are several key things in this writing here that Samuel brought out to the people. And, of course, this may be not pertaining to our subject, but he said that he ceased to pray. I have not ceased to pray for you. You know, I'm glad somebody prayed for me one time. And a lot of times I feel that we fail to pray one for another. Did you know that that's a commandment of God, that we pray one for another, that we love one another? And so when trouble comes and trials we face and we suffer, what should a Christian do? I've saw people that really, I don't know how they carried the load that they carried. I think of one dear lady that was up in, when I pastored in West Jefferson. She'd come to church and she had to walk on a cane or a crutch, and her hands were deformed from arthritis. She couldn't hardly get around, but she never ceased to come in without a smile. She'd come in, and if maybe our piano player wasn't there, I'd ask her to come up, and she used to be a great piano player and still was, but I'd ask her to come up and play for the church. And never one time did I ever hear her say, I can't. She'd just grin, get up, come up. And with her stub fingers and stuff, she'd do her very best. And I think that that was one of the great blessings of that service, when she would obey God. And, you know, when God asks us to do something, he'll give us the ability to do it. And some people carry heavy crosses. I don't know. Sometimes I know this week I've been praying hard for Brother Billy Young's family and wife and his church. And he taught over at Greenville Bible Institute. I think him and Brother Poovey, he taught over there when Brother Poovey was over, and they were closed. But he passed away. The Lord took him on home. And you had to pray for his wife and his family. That emptiness there, the only thing that can fill it is the love of God and the Holy Spirit. And so that's where he said, to pray for you continually. And I guess one of the greatest prayer warriors that I ever met, and some of you knew him, was Brother George Compton. He carried a book around him. He got in his later part of years. Of course, he ended up with Alzheimer's, but he got in the latter part of years, he got to where he couldn't remember right, and he carried a notebook, and you give him a prayer request, he'd write it down. And next time you see him, he'd look it up and ask you, I used to pray for my dad. He'd say, has Mr. Blevins got saved yet? And he said, I'm praying for him. And not only did he pray, but everywhere he is at a certain time of day, he went and knocked on doors and was a soul winner. One of the greatest soul winners I believe I've ever met. He'd come to Danville, if he's passing through, it's hard telling what street. Lord laid somebody, he'd go knock on the door and tell him about Jesus. That's why he was there. And so today, when we pray for people and pray one for another and witness for the Lord, we'll see victory in the Lord. But here we see that he wrote, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because he has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you, we thank you for the day and the privilege. Lord, we ask you to touch our lips of clay, speak through us. God, call to remembrance, to remind the things that's needful. Lord, we know that we're living in closing hours of the church age. And Lord, may we be about your business. May you lay burdens upon our heart. May we be yielded to it. And Father, we'll never fail to praise you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen and amen. The Word of God makes it clear that the afflictions of Christians and what we should do when we suffer. We find that many people in the Bible was given, God chose them that they were afflicted. One of the greatest, of course, was Job. And I wonder how many of us could really carry the cross if it's laid upon us like Job. Job lost his family. He lost everything he had. He lost his riches. He lost his health. I mean, it just went on and on and on. But the Bible said that yet not Job didn't sin against God with his lips. Now, when we think about that, when we suffer and have affliction, let's don't complain, or let's don't ask God why. We all do it. I don't care to any person here that something ain't happening, you ask God, why me, Lord? Why did this happen to me? Well, if you look close enough, there's always a reason. And so, first of all, when a Christian is suffering, a Christian should pray to God when afflicted. The Bible teaches us this. The Bible said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray, James 5:13. And so when you are afflicted, a Christian should pray and should ask God to help them, and we're to pray and not pout. I believe a lot of people lose a lot of blessings because they do more pouting than they do praying. And that is a human nature if you don't feed the inward man or the spiritual man. And so Christians should pray should whenever affliction come. And just like if you ask the question, why me, Lord, then you ought to pray and ask God to show you why this come your way. And sometimes we ask why, and God answers with it that we don't understand. But if we understood a lot of things and we tried to take it under control, we'd mess it up. God's ways are not our ways, but he'll always answer your prayer. Sometimes it's with a no. Sometimes it's with, you know, laying more burdens upon you that you might just get close to him. I never saw anybody suffer as a Christian but what it brought them closer to the Lord. I recently talked to a man who had cancer. And he said, you know, he said, I used to pray. I worked in the church. I'd done my things. He said, but I just had a shallow prayer life. And said, when I got cancer, I found out how shallow my prayer life was. I can say amen to that. When I lost my eyesight and had to walk the floor and try to breathe, I found out how shallow my prayer life was. One thing about affliction will bring you close to God and make your prayer life change. And so a Christian should pray when afflicted. That's what James said in James 5:13. And then a Christian should pray to God for deliverance. Nothing wrong with asking God to deliver you of certain things. Now, Paul prayed for the removing of the thorn. He prayed 3 times. But God, all God did was said, my grace is sufficient. So when we pray for deliverance, God will deliver or give us the grace to go through it. And so a Christian should pray, the Bible said, and call upon me in the way of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me, according to Psalms 50:15. And so a Christian should pray for deliverance. I hope that you pray daily for our nation to be delivered from the way that it's going. I hope you pray daily for our leaders, that God will touch them and that they will obey. And also, don't give up on your children, your grandchildren. I pray daily for God to deliver my grandchildren from some of the things that is being put before them in the world and some of the ways they're going. It's no sin or disgrace to pray for somebody that needs to be delivered. I think it's a sin not to. And so we need to pray for deliverance. Maybe you've got something that you need to be delivered from, and you pray that God would deliver you from that. Maybe it's a bad habit. When I got saved, and I was smoking 3 packs a day when I got saved. And when I got saved, it wasn't the fact that the Bible said, you know, that it'd harm me and all that. And all of that, I know that a Christian can smoke and still be saved. It'll not send them to hell, just make them smell like they've been there, amen? But the thing of it, the reason I quit was not because you said something or they said something, but when I was a sinner and a man priest or a man witness and he had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket, I didn't have any confidence in him. I was a sinner and I was smoking 3 packs a day, but I didn't think he was supposed to. And I thought it was wrong. So when I got saved, boy, the Lord convicted me. And I prayed and I asked God to deliver me from that. It was something that I felt hurt my testimony, and I would not witness. I didn't want to witness with cigarettes. And so we had a prayer group that went to the mountain, and I was like a lot of other people in my prayer life. We'd get up there and take prayer requests, and I'd say, pray that God helps me quit smoking. We get down and pray, and I get up and like a light of Winston. You know, that's the way a lot of us do. But the Lord will help us do the things we can. But he expects us to do the things we can. And so, make a long story short, I prayed. And when I was going to college, I was coming back from down in Abingdon, Virginia. And I was working on a degree. And we'd had midterm exam, real nervous. And I'd quit smoking. I mean, quit for about 6 months. I'd chewed gum and sucked suckers and until I had ulcers in every corner of my mouth. And so I'd try to quit the best I could. And so going home, the boys driving lit up a cigarette. And before I thought, I said, give me one. And I just that old temptation, that old flesh. And I lit it, and I got so sick, I like to die. I had to get him to stop the car. And all I could hear, I didn't hear no audible voice, but I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, you ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. And I tell you, keep praying, God will deliver you. And so after that night, I never smoked another one. But when in working or what have you, I started carrying a little New Testament. And every time I'd reach for a cigarette, I'd open it and read a verse. It done two things. It helped me get my mind off smoking, and it got me in the Word of God. And so that's how God delivered me. And so, there's different things that might be offensive that you need deliverance from. It's no sin to pray for deliverance. And then a Christian should pray to God to determine the cause of his affliction. What is the cause? Why is this happening? When I got sick and had to quit pastoring and leave, I thought I'd die. I said, Lord, I know you called me to pastor, and I'll just never be able to make it. And I prayed and asked God to show me why he was allowing this to happen. And so God just gave me comfort about, I have a reason. And so after that, when I got to where, after I got my health back, where I was able, why people started calling me. And I was amazed at the need for people just to supply and help people and help churches and help. And so God said, this is what I want you to do. And I've never looked back. I enjoy that. And now I believe that God may let me pastor again. That'd be up to him. But meanwhile, you have to pray, God, why this? And then it's because it's God's will, you do it. And you'll be satisfied. So Christians pray to God for deliverance, and then Christians should pray to determine the cause of affliction. How do you get that? Well, in John 6:24, it said, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand when I have erred. That was John telling us. And then in Job 10:2, it said, I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thy continuance with me. And so, why God? Job, if anybody, had a right to pray and say, God, why is this happening to me? And if you study Job on out, God reveals some things to Job during that crisis that Job didn't even realize was in him. He got mad and he criticized his friends and he just lashed out at them. They came and criticized him and he fell in. But you know where he got his double portion? The Bible said when he prayed for his friends and he found out what God wanted him to do. And so Christians should pray to God to determine the affliction, and then should pray, the Christian should pray to God for divine leading and teaching. You know, a lot of times we don't pray, God, teach me, because we're afraid of what he will teach us. You know, and there's nothing that God don't know about you already. You know, when I first got saved, I thought you had to sit down and write every sin you had out and repent them before you'd be right with God. But God done got a record of it. He knows all about it. But the thing you got to repent from, that you are a sinner. And God saved me. And when he saves you, he takes care of all your sins. And so I'm glad that he paid the price for my sin. I had a debt I could not pay. But I'm glad that he paid it for me. And so we should pray for divine leading and teaching. And so John said that we should say, that which I see not, teach me. That which I don't understand, teach me. And Job cried out and said, help me do these things, or consider me in continuance with me. And then Christians should pray to God for divine leadership. That which I see not, teach me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more, according to Job 34 and 32. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. The spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness, Psalms 143 and 10. And so the psalmist wrote that God is good. Teach me the will, God. You know, what is God's will in your life? What is it God wants you to do? It's a will of God that none should perish. Did you know that? God gave his son that the whole world might be saved. Now, that don't mean that the whole world will be saved, but everyone that calls on him and comes to him, he will save and does it his way. So we need to find out what God's will is in our life as far as living for God. And we don't only just worry about how we are at church on Sunday morning. We need to pray about how we are all through the week, where you work, what you do around your family. You need to pray, God, help me to live that I'd be a light to others. And I know that when I first got saved, I went to work in a chair factory for a while, and I was out of job, out of work as far as building and carpenter went, and I went in this one winter into the factory. And so everybody around there knew who I was and how I'd lived and here they got saved, and they used to make fun of me. They'd tease me. I'd every break, I didn't go to the break area and listen to filthy jokes and do all that. I'd go over behind some of the boxes and I'd sit down, take out my little testament and drink my coffee. And so they got to where they'd sneak up, throw water over on me. They'd, make fun of me. And I was a person before I got saved. Now, I had an ill temper, let me tell you. And it was hard to control it sometimes. But I just got to where that I just, every time that they made fun of me, I just pray for them. And I'd tell them, you know, God loves you. And there's one fella in particular, man, he was the one that aggravated everybody in the plant anyway. And he was terrible. But one day he called me. Something had happened in his life. And he said, I'd like to go out back here and talk to you. I thought maybe he wanted to fight. Boy, it began to worry me. But when I got out there and I looked at him, big tears rolling down his cheek. And he told me what had happened. And, you know, he said, And I saw what you've went through here, and I believe that you're saved. I believe you know God, and I want you to pray for me. And so, you know, in the long run, you know, your testimony is important no matter where you are. And if I'd have got mad and lashed out at that man and just maybe fought him or do whatever, you know, I wouldn't have been an instrument in the hands of God. And so we need to pray that God would lead us and teach us, and that's what Job was praying. And then a Christian should pray to God for mercy. Boy, ain't you glad you got mercy instead of justice? It always gives me shivers when somebody says, I just want what coming to me, not me. And I just want what I justly deserve, not me. I'm glad that God extended mercy. And so a Christian should pray for God's mercy. The Bible said, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Psalms 4 and 1. A Christian should pray for mercy. When you have problems, why, and your prayers and burdens are heavy, then you pray for mercy. And so I tell you, a lot of people today need mercy from God. And so we need to pray that a Christian, it's not bad for you to pray for mercy when you got problems. And God have mercy on me and act. Give me this, do that. And so a Christian should pray for mercy when trouble or when they are in a conflict or when things just don't go right. And so then a Christian also should pray to God for the restitution of joy. I see this in a lot of people in a lot of churches. They've just lost their joy. Don't have any joy serving the Lord anymore. Why is it? Well, they've just let the devil steal it. When David sinned against God, he lost his joy. Now, David was a songwriter and a songster. He loved to sing, wrote some of the most beautiful songs written, is recorded. But there come a time in his life that if you read over in the Psalms, that David had to pray to God to return to him the joy of thy salvation. What he was saying is, Lord, give him a song back. I can't sing with this sin in my life. And so people today need to pray for restitution of their joy. You know what gets people saved and excited? When they see somebody that's enjoying their salvation, enjoying the Lord. I know the devil tried to tell me that you get saved, you'll never have no joy. You'll never have no fun. Man, it's been 40-some years and every day gets better. I'm glad I got saved. Boy, I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I sometimes now, I regret what I've done, but I've never regretted getting saved. And so when we sin against God or disobey God or fail short, we need to pray, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The Bible said in Psalms 51 and 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David is saying, you've broke my bones. You broke all that I have, and you need to restore that joy. There was one man that used to teach Sunday school and was a deacon, and he got mad, left the church, and ended up divorcing his wife. And I used to go and visit him and try to get him back in church and talk to him. And he was an angry man. So about 2:00 one morning, he called me. Said, I need you to come out the house. And he had a son that was 16 years old. And the boy had stayed in church and tried to get his dad to go to church. And his dad wouldn't do it. So he didn't want to hear it. But that morning that I went out there, he had found his son sitting in the van outside the house with a hose run from exhaust into the car. And that man was broken. I mean, he cried and he said, why didn't I listen to God? Why didn't I do it? You know, God has ways of getting your attention. And I don't know why God allowed that boy to do that, but I do know that it broke that dad, and he got back in church and got back what he's supposed to do, but he never was the same. He just had a burden carrying. But that's what David was saying here. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David had went through that. He lost a child, and lost his son, and his family turned against him. And David said, my bones are broke. Lord, I need to be restored. And then verse 12 of that same psalm said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, listen, we need to take our joy and be thankful for it, and not let the devil, not let nothing steal our joy. And then last but not least, a Christian should pray and thank God for all things. You know, we don't have rain, we pray for rain. We get too much rain, we pray for sunshine. And Lord, you know, if the Lord turned it over to us, we'd have it raining on the other side of 58 and sunshining over here. But you know, ain't you glad God's still in control? But the thing of it is, we should thank him for the rain, thank him for the sunshine. I hope you got up this morning and thanked the Lord you was able to get out of bed. Well, be thankful if you can get out, put your feet on the floor, and be able to get up, come to church this morning. That's a blessing. Did you know there's people that's not able, would love to be here? And then, of course, we find that we take things for granted. And everything give thanks. And when I got to getting sick, and when I lost my eyesight and all that, I got to looking for things that I could be thankful for. And, you know, I learned that the best thing to do is be thankful that Jesus still loves you. He's still your Savior. And I thank him now for the knowledge he gave the doctors that did the cornea transplants and gave my sight back. I thank God for the doctors that he gave me the knowledge to treat my breathing condition. I thank God that he allows me to do what I'm able to do. And, you know, when I had my left knee done, it made my right leg 1 inch shorter than my left leg. So, but I'm thankful I still got my right leg, amen. And the Lord willing, I'm going to get it brought back in level with the other one in November. But ain't it good that God give doctors the knowledge to help us with what we ail? I mean, we got a lot to be thankful for. And so I'm thankful that I'm an American. And I'm thankful, you know, sometimes I don't mean no respect, but our dear brother over here, you know, I don't consider him an African American. He's an American. I'd say he was born here. And I believe that. You know, I had a friend of mine who was a colored preacher that we had a meeting out in West Virginia, and I remember they introduced him, you know, as our brother, African American. He got up, and he'd been a Marine in Vietnam, and I had been in the Army in Vietnam, and so when he got up, he said, I want to correct one thing. I'm not an African American. I'm an American. I was born here. I went to Vietnam and fought for America. I'm back. God saved me in America. And he said, I'm an American. And I think that is a good statement. You know, sometimes people fail to be thankful that they're American. I'm glad I'm an American. Well, I'm glad if I had not been in America, I might not have never got saved. And so Christians should praise and thank God for all things, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so we need to be thankful for the things that we have. You know, I didn't have much growing up, But have you ever sat down and just wrote down the things you have through your life that you've been blessed with that you didn't have when you first started? And I was thinking about when me and my wife got married. I came home from Fort Benning, Georgia, and had a 59 Ford convertible. And I had to pawn my radio and my spare tire and hubcaps, my fender skirts, and all to go home to get married. Didn't have the money. When I got home, the battery went out. And so I had to spend what little money I had for the battery. I got my suit greasy trying to change the battery, so I was. No money, and supposed to go get married. So I borrowed $20 from my mother. Borrowed my brother's suit. Went and picked up my bride, and we went to Sparta, North Carolina, where you can get married in 3 hours. And we started out, and I went and picked her up. I offered and teased her about it. When I went up to the house to take her, I was stationed at Fort Benning. I said she had 21 pair of shoes and one dress. That woman loves shoes, amen. But the thing of it is, we didn't have much. The first apartment we rented was porch furniture in it. We slept on an old glider, and we had a wooden crate that we put a cloth over. That was our table, and we thought that was the best place, prettiest place you ever saw. But over the years, God's been good to us, and I've sure got a lot more now than ever had in my life. And it won't be long in November. Me and my wife will celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. Ain't it good that God allowed us to live together that long and be able to face the trials that we've had and yet love one another? Now, my wife has got dementia, and I have to write her a note. Today, I had to write her a note, say I'm going to Faith to preach, and after Faith, I've got to go to Norris Funeral Home on 58 for a funeral. And if I don't, she gets to hunting for me. She can't remember. If I tell her, she can pick up the phone and answer it and hang it up, and I can say, who called? She said, I don't know. But you know what? She's still able to sit and read and do puzzles. And I know last night we was talking about things and having devotion. And she said, I'm so glad that I can still read. She can't remember it all, but she can read. And she said, I'm so glad that I can still walk a little. She had several strokes last year, and she walks with a cane. And of course, of a morning, it's hard for her to get started. But then through the day, if she does anything to help me, I have to write it down, what she's to do. She has to write her medicine down to time, and I had to buy her a timer to set so that she would know exactly what time it was to take what medicine. And she said, I'm so thankful that I'm able to write it down, read it, and just know when it's time because of the thing. You know, we take little things for granted. But God's been so good, I'll tell you what, any one of us that can't be thankful. And so the Bible said praise and thank God for all things. Now it's hard to thank God when you're sick. It's hard to thank God when you're broke. But you know what? God loves you when you're sick. He loves you when you're broke. He loves you when you're up. He loves you when you're down. Praise God, He ain't gonna leave you. He's still your God. And so He'll bring it all out. He'll take care of it all. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. And so today, don't get down and worry about what you don't have. Be thankful for what you do have. I read an article one time. The man wrote and said, home is a place that we grow up wishing we could leave. But we grow old wishing we could go back. You know, never been to this day. I'm 71 years old, and there's never been a table like the one I slid my feet under at my mom when she'd fix me something to eat. No place like home. But you know what? There's no place like the home I'm going to. Oh, listen, I'm thankful that I've got a future. I'm thankful that I've got a better home to go to. I used to tell my children when they'd get all, I'd say, look, one of these days you'll be thankful for the table that you got your feet under. Right now you don't realize it, but you'll find out that's the best table you ever pulled up to. And so they do it every once in a while. You know, no place like going to the mom's house or dad's house. And a lot of them has done gone on, and we got to meet them on the other side. But be thankful. You know, when I was praying the other day, I said, Lord, I'm thankful that you allowed me to live to be 71 years old. I've got friends, a crowd that I used to run with. There was a whole bunch of us that played football, went to school together. And out of the ones that I used to run around with, I've held 8 of them's funeral. Some of them died in their 40s. Some died in their 50s. Some died in their... But you know what? I'm so glad God allowed me to grow old. I mean, it ain't no fun sometimes. Your knees hurt, your back hurt. But it's joy that God has allowed me to be here, even to preach to you today. I'm thankful for that. And so, just count your blessings. When trouble comes, start counting your blessings. And then just thank God for it. You know, we have so much to be thankful for. Let us stand. Without any music and heads bowed and Christians praying, I don't know your heart this morning. Should there be one here that's not saved, this will be the best day I know. Just thank God you got the opportunity. But as far as I know, everyone's saved. If not, only you know and God, but you need to come and get saved. If you're a Christian, you've got a need in your life, you need to turn it over to God right now. And just pray, God, help me carry this cross. Lord, help me with this decision. Lord, help me with what I need to do. If you'll depend upon God, it'll always work out. If you'd like to come to the altar, you're welcome. Not able to bow like I am, you slip up on the front seat and just bow your heart's the main thing to God. I believe a lot of people even bow their heart right where they are. But, really showing God you really mean business. Just turn it over to Him. If you have nothing else, just pray hard for the church that God will put it together and God will make things work out, that you might see God's hand move and what should be done, that you do your part. God is still on the throne. He's still working. And no matter what, He's still God. Those of you maybe that ain't able to come, just turn your heart over to God right where you are. But God knows your heart, and He's done answering your prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we come thanking you, Lord, that we were able to come one more time, stand in the hedge and proclaim your word. But most of all, Lord, we feel a burden that people have got crosses that only you and them know about. We ask you to touch them, fill them with your love, and God, strengthen them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the comfort that no matter what, if they don't understand why, that your grace is sufficient, you'll still be with them. Now we ask you to touch this church, Lord, and put it together that it might just be used by you. Give them the right answers. Give them the right man, Lord, to come and lead them into the direction that's needed. And Father, whatever's accomplished, we'll never fail to praise you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.